Hello everyone, and welcome to Biopedia. This is episode 75, and to mark the milestone on our way to 100 episodes, I'm going to be covering a topic I've been hinting at online for a while. The Black Death is well known, but it is only the second of three major outbreaks of the disease. The third happens a few centuries afterwards and is not the subject of our discussion today, but the first one is. Get ready to talk about the Plague of Justinian. So, let's first give some historical context and then some biological context to the plague itself. First of all, who is this Justinian who gets a plague named after him? Well, he ruled the Roman Empire between 527 and 565. The historian John Julius Norwich says that he can't be considered a truly brilliant emperor because the empire he left behind was in a bad economic position. However, he did leave it better in terms of, for example, public building works. It also had a smoother law code and was physically larger. This is because, when he ascended to the throne, the Eastern Roman Empire governed Egypt, Cyrenaica, the Middle East, Anatolia, Greece, and the Balkans, roughly speaking. Justinian reconquered large swathes of territory which had once belonged to the Western Roman Empire, which was now defunct. These territories included North Africa, the Mediterranean islands, Italy, the Illyrian coast, and parts of southern Spain. Justinian was supposedly tireless in his attempts to make the lives of the people he ruled better, and left a shadow over the empire that lasted for hundreds of years. Now, both China and the Roman Empire faced destruction in the 300s. Both states would start reconquest in the 500s, as exemplified by Justinian's retaking of Western territory. However, China would eventually reunify, first under the Sui and then under the Tang dynasty, staying unified until the 900s. By contrast, Rome would only lose more territory, and the individual identities of the European states would eventually be born because it collapsed. William Rosen mentions plague as something that may have sped up the empire's decline in his book Justinian's Flea. So, let's turn to the biological subject at hand and talk about the plague. Plague is caused by the bacterium Yersinia pestis. This bacterium evolved from the related species Yersinia pseudotuberculosis between 1500 and 4000 years ago. This corresponds to a date range between 500 and 2000 BC. We can tell Yersinia pestis arose recently because of a 1999 study by Achtmann et al. This research tested the genetic makeup of 36 varieties of Y. pestis, and between 12 and 13 varieties of each of two other species, Y. pseudotuberculosis and Y. enterolytica. Y. pestis did not have that high of a genetic diversity, irrespective of which tested gene was being discussed. The tested alleles were nearly or fully identical to equivalent genes in Yersinia pseudotuberculosis. Yersinia pestis itself was discovered by Alexandre Yersin in 1894 during an outbreak in Hong Kong. Yersin was born in Switzerland and he travelled around Southeastern Asia for the better part of 3 years while he was part of the French Colonial Health Service in his 30s. Yersin was tutored by, among others, Louis Pasteur for those looking for a connection to other famous names in biology. The genus Yersinia is, as is apparent, named for Yersin. Plague is divided into three types, bubonic, septicemic, and pneumonic. We're going to be specifically discussing bubonic plague here because this is what the plague of Justinian was. Bubonic plague most frequently takes place after a victim has been bitten by a flea which has the infection, as per a document published by the Centers for Disease Control. Lymph nodes swell and hurt, creating buboes which are often in the neck, groin, and armpit. Yersinia pestis invades the cells of its host, and stops phagocytosis, or as a general definition, the engulfment and destruction of pathogens by white blood cells, from being carried out. The time between the lymph nodes being invaded by the bacterium and death is about 2.2 days. There are antibiotics, such as streptomycin, which work against Yersinia pestis, but there are examples of resistance. There are three distinct varieties of Y. pestis. These strains are called Orientalis, Antiqua, and Medievalis. Antiqua is responsible for the plague in the 500s, which we're talking about today. By contrast, Medievalis was behind the famous Black Death in the 1340s, while Orientalis was responsible for a later pandemic. This third pandemic started in the middle of the 1800s in Yunnan in China, and it went worldwide from Hong Kong in 1894. But anyway, let's move away from general discussions of plague and Yersinia pestis and onto the Justinianic plague itself. The plague first shows up in Pelusium in Egypt in 541, and our primary source Procopius is supposed to have reported that 10,000 people a day were perishing when it was at its most severe in Constantinople. However, this is probably an exaggerated figure. A modern paper asserts that the plague did not kill as many people as older sources would suggest. However, I'm not going to go into the details of that discussion here, as this is more of an introduction to the idea of a Justinianic plague, rather than the detailed breakdown of its consequences, which this paper also explores. The plague would carry on until 544, but outbreaks would persist until the 8th century. With that said, let's turn to someone who was alive at the time of the outbreak to get a few more details on it. This is our source Procopius, who I mentioned above, who discusses the plague in both his History of the Wars and his Secret Histories. He notes that some people never got the plague, while others died from it. In his History of the Wars, Procopius reports that the sun shone without being bright in 536 to 537. This shining was a bit akin to how the moon's light looks in the sky. Procopius reports that this looked like an eclipse was happening, and this carried on for the entire year. Now, we know that the Ilopango volcano in El Salvador erupted twice, first in 536 and then again in 539 or 540. The first eruption was a smaller one and the second more significant. This is called the Tierra Blanca Joven eruption. These two eruptions saw aerosols being added into the atmosphere and drastically impacted the climate of the northern hemisphere between 536 and 550. We know this based on records from the subfossil trunks of a trio of trees and 100 measurements of radiocarbon from them. During this period, harvests were failing and summers were unusually chilly. These eruptions, through cold, hunger, and a lack of rain, may have helped a bubonic plague to start in the Eastern Roman Empire. Procopius said that the whole known world was subjected to the plague, and in particular the Roman Empire was. The Persian Shah Khosrow and his army became ill with the plague. Khosrow retreated into Assyria to try and avoid the plague, as it hadn't reached there yet. The Emperor Justinian himself caught the plague and became so sick that people thought he was dead. However, he eventually did recover. The majority of farms died off. In the Secret Histories, Procopius says that the plague arrived just after a severe earthquake and killed almost 50% of the people who made it through the earthquakes. He is harsh on Justinian for continuing to tax farms during the plague. He also calls the emperor similar to another plague to torment humanity, which actual plague sufferers would probably think was a bit flippant. So, that's a surface-level introduction to both plague and the plague of Justinian. We're not going to go into the history of it anymore here, because although it is interesting to note that there was a plague before the famous Black Death, this is not Autocrat, and so we're not looking at Roman history in any detail, or indeed, history itself. Anyway, that's it for this episode. Thank you all for listening. Feel free to get in touch at the show's email address for any questions, comments, or topic suggestions for future episodes. Until next time, have a great week, everyone.